We hope you enjoy this podcast from Light Church Edithburg. To find out more about us, visit lightchurch.co.
We got a guest speaker today, all the way from Ardrossan. And a lot of you wouldn't, you might not have met. Amy, give us a wave. She'll come up in a minute. Well, let's get welcome Amy and her daughters. Amy and Wes isn't here. They moved over. When did you move back? A year ago. They were here, then they weren't here. They're on the Riverland. Now they're back. But they've been part of our Drossen Church. And they're a huge blessing to our church and our family. We love them up there. And I thought, you know, Amy, let's get you to preach, Amy. And you can actually come down to Edithburg as well. And so she's preaching at Edithburg and our Drossen today, her first time in our church. So she'll be a blessing to you. So give her a warm welcome. Then let's welcome after. So can we welcome Amy? Thanks for coming down today.
Thank you. When Ben said he was going to do the welcome, I thought, can I trust Ben? I don't know. I do have a few connections to people here in this church. We did some Easter camps with people. I used to work with Julie Mason at Minleton years and years ago. And we used to work on the community transport program run by the council, and we would have to have a lot of meetings with volunteers. And I remember going to one meeting one day, and some of the mature ones, thought I couldn't hear, and they said, leaned over to each other and said, "She doesn't look old enough to be married." But I was like right next to them, but they must have had their hearing aids. You know, you have to talk a bit louder, and they didn't realise I could hear everything they said. So I was about maybe 24, 5, 6 back then. Not too young, but I am mum to an 18-year-old. Michaela, 15, Zara's 11, and I know I don't look old enough to have an 18-year-old, but I do. Anyway, today I'll be talking from Mark chapter 4. We'll be preaching on the parable of the four soils, the parable of the lamp, and if we get to it, the parable of the growing seed. So this morning when I was saying goodbye to Wes, I said, "See you later, God." And then I go, "Oh, hang on, see you later, Wes." And he goes, "God, don't leave God here, take God with you." So God is here, isn't he? So Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. So again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and he sat in it on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen," everyone say, "Listen, listen." A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But then when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus says, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." So I'm going to explain that in a minute. But whoever has ears, let them hear. I mean, I hope you brought your hearing ears to church today. What was Jesus saying here? Everyone's got ears, don't they? Well, most people do. Most people can hear relatively well, can't they? A few of us have selective hearing at certain times. Maybe our children. Sometimes. No, never my children. Your children. But what was Jesus saying? Everyone's got physical ears. Well, he wasn't referring to their physical ears. He was referring to their spiritual ears. And the Greek word here for ear, it refers to a person's ear as spiritual perception or understanding. So there's a difference between hearing sounds and really listening and understanding in a spiritual sense. Wouldn't you agree? Sometimes, like when you're talking to kids, it's like all they can hear is blah, 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 blah. They can just hear sounds. So are you really listening to understand today? Are your spiritual ears open? In Matthew, it says the disciples then went on and asked Jesus why he spoke in parables. He was speaking so plainly before. Why are you going to tell us a story about these four souls? Why do you speak in parables? You know, people could understand what Jesus was saying before because it was pretty self-explanatory. You know, things like love your enemies, no hidden meaning there. Show mercy, no hidden meaning there. Do not worry, pretty self-explanatory, no hidden meaning. Why parables now? Well, we get to verse 11. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, to those that aren't Christians, to those that have rejected Jesus, to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. So Jesus is quoting Isaiah here. Parables are short stories that are relatable to people. People can go, oh yeah, I know what, you know, that means. They have a spiritual meaning though. They had a hidden meaning. And the parables that Jesus told were both to reveal truth and also conceal truth. So to true truth seekers, parables encourage them to dig deeper and find out what that spiritual truth was, which could be found, because God can be found, can't he? He doesn't want to hide from us. But understanding would come to those who truly wanted to know the meaning. But parables were also meant to conceal the truth from outsiders or people who'd rejected Jesus or hardened their hearts against him. I always thought that's a bit rough, isn't it? It's a bit rough, God. Don't you want everyone to come to know you? Don't you want everyone to be saved? Why hide the truth from someone? But the ever seeing and the never perceiving, the ever hearing and the never understanding, it refers to people who have chosen not to follow Jesus. They've actually made a choice. They kept hearing, but they never learnt from his message. Well, Isaiah says that such people have calloused hearts. They're hardened. The Bible says that this concealing of the truth from them is a judgment upon them. God was abandoning them to their rebellion and hardness of heart. So it's basically like him saying, okay, if you want to keep rejecting me and you don't want to know the truth, you're not going to be able to know the truth. But it was also God acting in his mercy too, because if these people kept hearing about the truth and rejecting it, rejecting it, rejecting it, rejecting it, they were heaping up judgment against themselves. So God in his mercy said, I'm going to reveal that truth. So that's not you and me. But if they want to come back and find the truth, they will. They can. If you soften your hearts. Okay, so that was why Jesus spoke in parables. So now we get to the parable of the four soils. So chapter 4, verses 13 to 20. And Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept the word, and they produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. So what's the meaning of this parable? Basically, it's four different ways that people respond to the word that is spoken to them. It's four different responses that reveal where people's hearts are at, and it reveals what is important to them. So let's go through them. So the first one is the seed on the path. The lack of the planting of the seed and the lack of the growth of seed here is due to the lack of understanding. The birds come and eat this seed, Matthew 13 explains it this way. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. That is the seed along the path. The birds represent Satan stealing the word before anything can be done with it. I always felt sorry for this person too. I thought, it's not their fault. They had their seed stolen. What could they do about that? You know, and I felt, could they help it? Actually, they could have, because once they heard the word, then they were responsible to do something with it. The lack of understanding was due to the hearer choosing not to get understanding. Do you know, I was at the library the other day and I saw a poster on the wall written by one of the students and it said, if you don't change it, you're choosing it. And I thought, wow, that is so true in so many instances in life. If you don't change it, you're choosing it. Yeah. Jesus doesn't want us to just hear sounds so that we come away going, what? He wants our spiritual ears to be open so that we can really take in what he's saying to us so that we can really get an understanding. Do you know, I used to work in the Lutheran school in Loxton a while ago now, and I was a teacher aide and also a chaplain there, and often we'd have to take out groups of kids to do one-on-one work with them. There was always an instruction time and then the doing time. So I'd be like explaining something, probably only for 2 minutes, and they'd go, oh, yeah, yeah. And then they're like 10 seconds later go, wait, what? Has anyone heard kids say that today? You would explain, and sometimes you'd have this 20-minute explanation of something, and they'd go, yeah, yeah, got it, got it. Wait, what? Like, turn around 2 seconds after. And so I just thought that was funny. I'm going to put that in the yearbook. Because I'm a chaplain, I get a chaplain's page. I'm going to put that saying in the yearbook because I hear so many kids saying that. My kids are like, no, don't do that. That's so embarrassing, which made me get fierce determination to just do that thing. And so I did. I had a big chaplain's page and I had a big photo there of the kids celebrating Reformation Day with whatever craft we'd done for that day, you know, all smiling. And my caption was, saved by the grace of God. Wait, what? So it's in there forever. But God doesn't want us to just hear sounds and then go, what? He wants us to hear and understand and go, I'm going to dig deeper. I don't quite understand. So maybe it's okay to say, wait, what? Because we need some more understanding. We need to get understanding. So when I think about paths, the seed was placed on a path. When I think about paths, they're pretty hard places, aren't they? Especially like if you think of your driveway, if you live on a farm, driveways are pretty hard places, aren't they? They're compacted soil because they're trodden on, they're walked on, they're driven on, and the earth is compacted down. Imagine if someone said to you, men, your wife said, I want you to go and dig 50 holes to put 50 trees in that driveway. We don't want to use it anymore. You'd go, oh, that's the hardest place to plant a seed. You wouldn't do it. They're pretty impenetrable. And do you know that seed on the path? It was just placed on the path. It sat there out in the open. Didn't go anywhere. Didn't go underground. Nothing was done with that word. Maybe the hearer couldn't care less. I don't want that religious rubbish. Ever heard that? Ever tried to share the word with someone? Oh, don't talk to me about Jesus. Didn't do anything with the word. Maybe the hearer was lazy. I don't really know what that means, but move on. Maybe the word didn't resonate with someone. I don't think I need that, so I'm just going to keep going with life. So nothing was done with that word, and nothing was done to find understanding because the hearer didn't think it was worth finding understanding. There was treasure sitting there, but they didn't realize the treasure could bring a harvest. So they just let it go. So then Satan comes and takes that word away. So when we hear the word, we've got a responsibility to do something with it. If we don't understand it, it's not going to sit there and produce a crop. It won't. You've got to get understanding. It'll go if we don't get understanding. So, do you know, understanding's the first thing we need. Do you know, recently I watched Back to the Future. Has anyone seen that? I've watched it a million times since it first came out, and I love that movie, and my kids love it too. And recently we watched it as a family again, and I go, oh my goodness, I didn't realise it started because Doc had stolen plutonium. And Wes just turned to me and goes, oh my gosh, are you serious? And I go, yes. I just saw the plutonium sign in his house, and I just watched the news report that was on the TV, and I get it. He was using it to fuel his time machine. And Wes is like, oh my goodness, you know, my dumbness sometimes really astounds even me. Like, it was just so funny. But anyway, because I didn't have an understanding, like, you just kind of watch the movie and go, oh yeah, that was a good movie. But now that I totally understand where it all started from, I was like, wow, this makes more sense. We need understanding. We don't want to be ignorant. Okay, so seed in rocky places. That's the next one. That's the praise the Lord, then followed by I'm out response. The lack of growth here is because of the lack of roots. There are no roots. So Mark 4, 16 to 17. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The problem here is there are no roots, and plants need roots to survive, don't they? Plants planted in shallow soil can quickly spring up because the seeds are closer to light and they're closer to warmth. So they have this faster initial germination where they can spring up, and you can think, oh wow, that's good. But they don't last long because the soil is shallow. The roots can't go down to find nutrients and water to support the growth of the plant. And that's really important. So plants need a healthy root system because it also acts as an anchor. Those roots go down, they spread out to find water and nutrients. And as they do that, they secure the plant in the ground. So when the wind comes, the plant's not knocked over. The plant is steady. And that's like us. We need a connection with Christ, don't we? To stay rooted and grounded in Him. So people in this category, they hear the word and they think, it's great, that's great. But because there is no lifeline, because there is no strong connection with Christ, once persecution comes because of the word, then they fall away. Do you know, persecution isn't, oh, I've got six loads of washing to do today and my washing machine broke down. That's not persecution. Or I got a flat tire and I was late for a meeting, or, you know, I don't know, the trampoline blew over in a storm and is broken and my parents won't fix it. Sorry, girls. That's not persecution. Persecution is you become a Christian and you go home and your family gives you rubbish about it. You become a Christian and your workmates are making fun of you for being a follower of Christ. Little quips, oh, you wouldn't drink, would you? You're a Christian. Things like that. That is persecution because of the word. And so some people, when they hear the word, oh, it's fantastic. But then they get that pressure, they get that pushback. There's always pressure and pushback. Has anyone ever given their life to Christ and had a bit of pushback from someone? Especially family members? You know, and then those people go, I can't take this anymore. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm out. Because they don't have that solid connection with Christ. So then they wither. Okay, so how do we get that solid connection with Christ? It's really easy. It's spending time with Christ. Spending time in the Word. It's spending time praying. It's listening to what God is saying to you. Okay. So the next one is the seed in the thorns. This is really the neglectful response. The issue here is the thorns, the worries, the pleasures, the deceitfulness of wealth. They compete with the word. The seed in the thorns stands for those that hear the word, but because of the world's competing demands, it gets choked out. Who knows, life has lots of competing demands. There's so many things these days you could be worried about or putting your time and energy into. You know, life's worries, riches and pleasures, they can take over for sure if we let them. Weeds just seem to creep in. We don't plant them on purpose, do we? They just appear and they go nuts and they multiply all by themselves if we don't actively pull them out. It's like the dishes on the sink, ladies, isn't it? You do the dishes, you turn around and there's 50 more there. Where did that come from? Or the washing. Oh my goodness. Wear that for a week and then bring it out to the washing machine. Not you, Ella. We'll blame Ella. But do you know what I mean? Weeds just grow, don't they? You don't plant them. You don't pay any attention to them, and there they are. They can take over. And they're competitive. Is anyone else competitive? I'm competitive. My kids will tell you, especially when we play the Wii. We have an old Wii that was given to us by my sister, and there's 100-pin bowling on there. Does anyone remember that? And recently, I got 10 strikes out of 11, and I was like, oh my goodness, that's the highest score I have ever gotten. And surely no one can beat that, because it was 10 strikes out of 11. To beat my score, you're going to have to get 11 strikes in a row. And so my name was on the leaderboard, and it was number one. And I was like, great. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to knock everyone else off that leaderboard. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. So that's just my name on the leaderboard so that everyone can see it's just Amy, 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 Amy. Out of love for other people so that they didn't look at the leaderboard and go, Amy's first and I'm second. I'm such a loser. No, I'm joking. But I did. I just kept playing and playing and playing so that I get everyone else's names off the high score. It's just me. Love it. But that's like weeds. They're competitive. Things will compete for good things. So all those weeds in your soil, they're going to compete for the good plants. They're all competing for the same nutrients. They're all competing for the same water. And if all your nutrients and resources and water are going to the weeds, guess what? There's going to be none left over for the good seeds, for the good plants. And that plant is going to have stunted growth. That plant is probably not going to make a harvest. Agree? So we need to be diligent. Now, I'm a busy mum. I know that we're all busy. But if I like to do anything extra, like put some paint on the wall or, I don't know, do some gardening, it shows where I've spent my time, because my focus is then on painting the wall and getting that done. There could be dishes all over the sink. Isn't that right, girls? Crumbs all over the floor. Washing all over the couch. Because my focus is on getting the wall painted. It shows where my time has been put. It shows where my focus has been. It shows where my priority has been. It shows. And likewise in life, it shows where our focus is. If our focus is on getting stuff, building our own kingdoms, then building God's kingdom is going to be neglected. If we're running around trying to get rich, if we're running around trying to get, you know, have all the pleasures in life, and that is our focus, then the God stuff is going to get left behind, and the God stuff isn't going to get watered, and the God stuff isn't going to have nutrients. The God stuff is not going to grow. Okay, so worries can take up a lot of our time if we let them. There can be so much to worry about. You have one worry, you find one, there's 10 more behind you. You can be worrying about everything. But Jesus talked quite explicitly about this. Do not worry. Pretty self-explanatory. Do not worry. Actually, we can turn our worries into prayers. That's one way of getting rid of them. Philippians 4 says to pray about everything. So that's good advice. So the pleasures of this life can also take over. Our desire to have this and that, we can end up pursuing those things that make us temporarily happy, over investing time into God's word, which has an eternal value. Sometimes you have to think about that, putting things into perspective. It's not wrong to have things, but it's not wrong to enjoy things, but it's all about a matter of neglect. Is the word being neglected because all my energy and focus is going onto these worldly things? And it will show if we're not growing spiritually. What about wealth? Wealth can be great. You can use money. Money can do lots of good things. It's the love of money that's the killer, isn't it? It's trusting in your bank account rather than trusting in the one who can fill your bank account. So money in itself is not bad, but is our focus on that? Is our trust in that? So God said you can't serve both God and mammon. You'll end up serving one or the other. So who do you want to be your master? Whoever you are serving today, that shows who your master is. So are there thorns in your life you need to get rid of? What are the things that are competing for you developing godly fruit? What is competing for your attention and demanding attention over the word of God? Okay, the last thing, the last soil is the good soil that produces a crop. That's the diligent response. This is the category that we want to be in, right? We want to be in this category. So this is in chapter 4, verse 20. Others like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. They hear the word, they accept that word, and they produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Luke 8:15 says it this way, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Matthew 13:23 says it this way, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word, understands it. So let's put all that together. The seed sown on good soil had some things that the other soils didn't. There was a harvest here because there was understanding of the word. Then there was acceptance of the word. Then there was retention of the word. And then there was perseverance. The person that yields a great harvest is the one that is diligent to get understanding. This person seeks the truth. This person spends time in the Word and spends time with Jesus searching for meaning. This person is the opposite to the person. This person has comprehension. This person accepts the truth. Accept also means to believe or trust. So this person understands, then they believe it, and they're not letting it go. This person retains the word. Retain means to continue to have something, to keep possession of something. So that person's not letting go of the truth once it's found. They're guarding it, they're feeding it, they're meditating on it so it sticks and doesn't go anywhere. Trouble or persecution is not going to make this person lose that truth. The worries of this life are not going to take precedence over that truth. And lastly, this person gains a harvest through persevering. Do you know persevere? To persevere means to continue in a course of action, even in the face of difficulty or with little or no indication of success. Wow. Do some people need to hear that today? Do some people need to learn to persevere? I feel like especially the younger generation. Do you know, like when I used to work in schools, there was a lot of these social and emotional learning, extra learning going on. They were trying to fit that into the day of the kids. You know, to teach them it's okay to make mistakes. You can make mistakes. You get up, you go again. You fall down, you get up, you go again. And just keep going when things go wrong. You know, and I think maybe the fault is because this generation, and I hate, it's like a cliche, I hate saying it, it's because we do live in its instant culture. If you want a burger, you go through the drive-thru, you get one in 2 minutes. If you want AFL tickets, you go online, you get it in 2 minutes. If you want to know the meaning of something, you Google it, you get it in 2 minutes. It's a, I want it, I get it, I want it, I get it. And so I feel like this generation don't know how to persevere with hard work and just keep going and doing something over and over and over and over and over. I could go on and on, couldn't I? You know, a lot of young people want to learn to play the guitar. I pick it up, I'll play it for 5 minutes, I expect to be a maestro. That's not going to happen unless you're Darren, because I know Darren's pretty good at all the musical instruments he plays. And my brother-in-law, Stu, he can pick up any instrument and play too. Those people make you sick, don't they? Very jealous. But for the rest of us, we have to practice, don't we? and practice and practice and practice and practice and practice. I'm always telling my kids, if you want to get good at something, you got to practice and practice and practice. Wes didn't just get in the truck and be able to learn how to back things in small spaces by doing it for 5 minutes. It takes practice, it takes perseverance, it takes making mistakes and getting up and going again. Perseverance, when you can't see anything happening, just keep going. Do you know when Thomas Edison was a boy, his parents pulled him out of school because the teachers called him stupid and unteachable? Thomas Edison, the guy that invented the light bulb and the stock printer and some other famous things that were groundbreaking and life-changing. But do you know, he had about over 1,000 patents, I think, but he had way more failures than he did successes. But we don't hear about that. And so he would have done things over and over and over and over. Amazing. He said it was 1%, his genius was 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. We don't like hard work. We don't like perspiration. We don't like continuing on doing something when we don't see any successes. I know we don't like it, but sometimes we just have to do it, don't we? Just keep going. So in these parable of the soils, there was nothing wrong with the seed. The seed was the same for every soil. There was nothing wrong with the seed. The seed had the same potential for every soil. Has the same potential for every person. There was nothing wrong with the farmer either that scattered the seed. It was the soils that varied. It were the hearts that varied, the condition of the heart. Okay, so we can get a harvest by getting understanding, believing the word, developing a good root system or relationship with Christ, retaining the truth at all costs and persevering. Do you know, this is good news for you who plant seeds, because it means that it's not your fault if you don't see growth in someone else's life. Take that guilt off of you. I used to feel so guilty. I've told my family about Jesus and they're still not following him. We don't have to keep saying it and saying it and saying it and Bible bashing. But I've had a conversation with that person. They know about Jesus. I've told them the gospel and they're still refusing Jesus. Or I've led that person to Christ. We've walked a bit. I've seen initial growth, but now nothing. It's gone backwards. It's not your fault. I used to feel so bad. I should have done this. I should have done that. I should have been a bit more nicer, maybe not so competitive. Maybe should have been a different person. It's not your fault. If you can't see growth in someone that you've been pouring into, you've done what God told you to do. You've scattered the seed, haven't you? And also, you don't know what's happening in that person's heart. You can't actually see. There might be something still in there or happening. So that's good news for you. It's the responsibility of the hearer to do something with the word. If you're a sower and you've sown, you've done your bit. Pray for that person. So Mark 4:21, nearly there. This is the parable of the lamp. Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out in the open. If anyone has ears, let them hear. Again, if you've got ears, hear. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure that you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Okay, so basically, we're meant to make our light shine. Matthew 8:14-16 says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. If we live for Christ, we are to shine our light on others. And that plainly means maybe, yes, sharing the gospel, speaking about Jesus, perhaps praying for someone. being nice to someone, doing something that you know is right morally when everyone else is doing the opposite. Standing up for what you believe in. That's all shining the light, isn't it? Because we're not meant to keep what we have in ourselves. We're not meant to keep that hidden. I'm a Christian, great. I'm on my way to heaven, fantastic. I'll keep it to myself for the rest of my life. No. God wants you to shine everywhere you go. So you're like a torch, shining the way for people, showing them the way. And I love it that light reveals the truth, doesn't it? If you go to put your makeup on in a dark room and you go outside, whoa! The light reveals the truth. It's like walking down the passageway and at night time to get to the kitchen. If you turn the lights on, it's a lot easier to find your way. You're not bumping into things. You're not stubbing your toe on something. So we are meant to, whatever we learn in here, whatever seeds we have planted in here, we're meant to go produce a crop by shining our light. And then they get to come into Christ. And then they get to go and share their light. That's how the kingdom grows. So lastly, we come to the parable of the growing seed, Mark 4:26. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters the seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Do you know the growing of a seed is a mystery? It's just a mystery. It's not magic. It just happens, doesn't it? You plant that seed in someone, it just changes. It just happens. It starts in the dark, inside a man's heart where you can't see it. It starts where it can't be seen, and then change takes place on the inside first, doesn't it? Then it becomes evident on the outside. You can see growth on the outside after a while. So the growing of the seed is a process. It's not instant. It takes time. That seed is planted. There's something happening in the dirt. You can't see it yet. It's happening though. It's growing roots and it's coming up to the light. And then you see that little stalk and then you see the fruit. Then you see it develop and then you get fruit. So we don't know when we're scattering our seed, when we're shining our light, we don't know where that seed will fall. We don't know if it's going to be on rocky ground. We don't know if it's going to be on good soil. We don't know if it's going to be on a hard path. But the encouragement to you today is just do it. Just scatter your seed, just shine your light, because somewhere that seed's going to fall on good soil. And that seed is going to produce a harvest, isn't it? So that's good news for you and me. But also good news, if we have taken a word, we can't make ourselves become something. We just have to trust that God will work that word in our heart and it will be worked out. So we can't change ourselves or make ourselves love the unlovable or whatever it is that you're trying to be more Christ-like in. God just does that. It's a mystery. God does it inside of you. Then you'll see the outward change. So that's all. I thought we'll just bow our heads and pray now, I think. So Lord, thank you for the word today. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage your people to go out to be the kind of people that have receptive hearts, Lord, that will get understanding and retain the word and produce a crop. But also, Lord, we just pray that you would encourage your people to keep scattering the seed, to keep shining their light, Father, for you. And we pray that you'd give them wisdom as they do it. Lord, look after us in the week ahead, and we just pray your blessings on all of us here. In Jesus' name, amen.